Okay, we're going to have some questions this morning, but we'll get to them in a minute. One thing I want to know is, can we all agree that Christ has an endless love? We can all agree on that, right? And we can all agree that it's available to who? To everybody. Anyone who desires it, it's available to. Now, not only is his love endless, so we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class this morning. Not only is his love endless, but we've got to take it a little bit further, and we've got to see that he is the greatest teacher that ever lived. He was our greatest example, and his words teach us very, very important lessons. Now, these lessons that he tries to teach us, now, a lot of times we think the lessons that we are learning, we're learning them so we can teach somebody else. But these lessons that he teaches us, they describe who we are, all right? Because we are, a lot of people, sometimes we think we're more than what we are, but we're just everyday people living like anybody else in everyday situations. And we also know that these lessons that Christ is trying to teach us, he's doing so because he understands us. And he easily understands us because he created us. Sometimes we don't understand ourselves, but we know God understands us. So the word of God that we have will touch the hearts and lives of everybody. Doesn't matter if you're a believer or a non-believer, it touches everybody's heart. But what it does for us as believers, it motivates us. It motivates us to follow after him. And it motivates us because he wants us to only follow after him. So that means that as we're following after him, now we're learning to serve one another as well. We're learning to be in service to the people out there in the world as well. So God's intention for us as believers, his intention is that we'll look to his son, we'll use his son, we'll use the word given unto us by his son, and we'll do that and use it as an example for everything that happens in our life. So that means every decision that we make, every circumstance that we go through, every situation that we go through, every action that comes forth from us, we will look to Christ as our example, and we will do it in a manner that he sees fit. Everything that we do in our life. So when we begin to follow after the example of Christ, then we're going to find out that not only are we living our life for Christ, but he is living his life through us. Amen? Christ wants to live his life through us. And we can only do this as we submit to the indwelling Holy Spirit that lives within us, and we've got to wholly and completely submit to him. So here's question number one that I want you to ask yourself. What does it mean to follow Christ as our example? What does that mean to you in your life? Now, you're probably just going to, the first thing that pops into your mind, but I'm going to tell you right now, whatever popped into your mind, it goes far deeper than that. So we've got to begin to search for what that means. So first of all, when did that begin? When did we start to think about that in our life? It should have began at the moment that we were saved. By faith believing in Jesus Christ, we were saved. And when this begins to take place in our life, then we begin to turn our attention to the Word of God. If we've been saved and we've not focused or turned our complete attention to the Word of God yet, then we do not know yet what it means to follow Christ as our example in our life, because Christ gave us his example through his word. So we're So now we're learning to become obedient to the Word of God, and we're beginning to live by it every day in our life. So now we're going to start learning the fundamentals of what it means to live as Christ as our example. What are some of those things in our life? First of all, wisdom, knowledge, understanding from God. These are all things. We must have these things in order to sustain, so that God can sustain us through the challenges that we face every day in our life. And every day in our life as a Christian or as a believer, we are going to face challenges. And God wants us to be able to go through those challenges in our life with joy unspeakable and full of glory, the Bible says, so that everything that we do might glorify God. So in the book of 1 John, I'm going to go over and read you a scripture this morning. In the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Here's what it said. Whoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So as we become obedient to the word of God, then now we're starting to see some of the perfection of following after Christ as our example. And he says, hereby now we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him, now pay attention to this part, he that saith he abideth in Christ, so if we say we love the Lord, we're being obedient to the word of God, we're doing what God wants us to do, then he said he himself, meaning whoever is saying that, so that'd be me, ought to walk even as Christ walked. So now let's look at the first question that we ask. What does it mean to follow Christ as our example? It means to walk exactly as he walked when he was upon this earth. So how many of us can say that we're doing that 2% of our life? Let's start low. So let's start low and work our way up, because now this is what we're working towards. So this will bring me to the second question I want you to ask yourself this morning. What's your goal as a believer? What is your goal? My goal is Lord, I'm going to try to make it to church every Sunday morning for the next, let's not get too far out there. Let's say for the next 2 months, okay? That'd be maybe 8 times, 9 if there's 5. But what is our goal as a believer? Our goal is to become like Christ. It's to become Christ-like. So that means that the key to becoming like Christ is we have to be willing. And not only do we have to be willing, we have to be consistent in the things that we do. So where is our consistency? So we got to pray daily. We got to pray, the Bible says, without ceasing. That means we're always focused upon God. We got to study the Word of God. Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there's got to be some consistency to our life in Christ. So and we got to look at the teaching, the things that God is trying to teach us through his gospel. So here's where we're at. Pay attention to this. He says, our obedience, okay, our obedience is evidence that shows that we as believers have a relationship with God. Did you get that? Our obedience is the evidence. So this is what people are going to see in you. Our obedience is the evidence that we have a relationship with God. So when people look at you out in the world today, when they see the actions that are coming forth from you, are they seeing our obedience to the Word of God? This is the evidence that we belong to God, that we have a relationship with God. That means that true knowledge of God is gained through understanding his word. So if you want to understand his word, you got to read his word. If you're going to read his word, you got to study his word. If you're going to study his word, you got to meditate upon his word. And you can't do it without doing it prayerfully through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And so this is what gives us our willing desire. And not only our willing desire, but it gives us the ability to be obedient to him. And it shows the fullness of our faith and our trust and our loving God. So go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And one of the things that we want to get an understanding of this morning is how important is it to be able to look to Christ as our living example down here upon this earth. Now, a lot of times we'll look to other people to be an example for our life. You might look to a good Christian person, you might look to this person, or you might look to that person, but it's very important to know that the one that we ought to be looking to as our example is Jesus Christ himself. He is our greatest example. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, here's what it says. Be ye therefore what? Followers of God. Very specific. We have to be followers of God. And he said, in order to do that, he said, you have to walk in what? You have to walk in love, and it's got to be God's love. And he said, as Christ also hath loved us. So Christ, he had so much love for us that he agreed to come down. He agreed to be sacrificed. He agreed to be hung up on the cross to pay our sin debt so that we might be able to have eternal life. And he says this. He said, because he hath given himself for us, he gave himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God, which was a sweet-smelling savor. So everything that we sacrifice in our life, and let me tell you, you're never going to have to give a sacrifice like Christ did, but we do have to sacrifice things in our life. We have to sacrifice those things in the world that we take pleasure in, those things that keep us from serving God the way God wants us to serve him in our life. So we have to make sacrifice. So that means as believers now, we have to begin to reflect the characteristics of Christ, reflect the characteristics of God. We have to be able to reflect his kindness, his temperance, his patience, his meekness, all of these, his love, his compassion, the joy, and especially the forgiveness part. We have to be able to show these qualities. They have to come through our life, and they're only going to come out in our life if we're living in spirit and in truth. So that means we're living according to the spirit that indwells within us as believers. And when we do that, then we're going to be truthful about the things that God has in store for us in our life. So this comes through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, we have this union with Christ. Everybody, we know this is, we have a union with Christ. We have a relationship with God, and we're encouraged as we look towards Christ as our example. We're encouraged to show this in our attitudes and in our actions. So let me ask you, this isn't one of the questions I was going to ask, but let me ask, how was your attitude this morning? When you got out of bed, how was your attitude? And I can tell you, one of my peeves is when you come to church and I say, how are you doing today? And here's the reaction I get. Well, I'm here. I can tell you your attitude isn't very good. And I saw it. And God saw it. So how was your attitude when you got out of bed this morning? Well, I guess I better get ready and go. Them people will be expecting me down at church today. If you don't come through the door with joy in our heart, we're not expecting much, are we? So how was our attitude this morning? So our attitude is very important because our attitude controls our actions. So whatever it is that you're going through in your life, that's what people's going to see. So we have to, this is something we have to work on. Christ's attitude always reflect his actions, and it was always one that was pleasing, not unto the men around him, but it was pleasing unto the Father because it brought glory to God. So that means we're called to be Christ-like. We're supposed to imitate. We're supposed to imitate his life, his characteristics, his faith, his mercy, his grace. We're to be conformed to his likeness. We're to be transformed into his image. This is what we're taught through the Word of God. So the only way that we're going to grow, the only way that we're going to mature in our faith in God is to put aside the rest of the stuff in our life. All these worldly characteristics, these things that we think that we need in our life, we're going to put those away because they're influencing us in a way that is not pleasing unto God. We want to do those things that is pleasing unto God. We want to make choices that are acceptable unto God, not to the people around us. So in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. I'm just going to read verse 1. Here's what he says, and this is talking about how we're walking, how we're living here upon this earth. So 12:1, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. When you stand before God one of these days, you're not going to be able to stand up there and say, Lord, I didn't have the people that were teaching me just weren't very good. That's not going to be an excuse. I didn't have a good role model. I didn't have this. I didn't have that. He says, we are compassed about with this great congregation of witnesses. If you don't have one single person around you physically in your life, I can tell you, you are compassed about right here with so many witnesses that show what the joy of the Lord is all about, that there'll be no excuse in saying I did not have, as a believer, a good role model in my life. So he said, seeing we're passed about with this, he said, let us what? Lay aside, put aside, put it away, get away from it, step out from it, get away from those things in our life. Every sin, at the weight of the sin which doth so easily beset us, and then he says, let us move on in our life, run with patience the race that God has set before us. So this brings me to another question. Y'all remember the first two? No, you didn't write them down, did you? Okay. See there? So, do we as believers, because that sinner can't do this, do we as believers imitate Christ? And I'm not going to say in the things that we do. Do we imitate Christ in every thought that we think? Anybody? That's not all the question. Okay, that's just part of it. You thought you was getting off easy, didn't you? So do we imitate Christ in every thought that we think? Do we imitate Christ in every word that we speak? Do we imitate Christ in every deed that we do? Do we imitate Christ in every little thing that we allow to come into our life, the choices that we make, the things that motivate us, the things that we are doing in our life? And I'm going to tell you, if, it's a big if, little word, big meaning, if, our life is hidden in Christ, he has given us the ability to do those things. So let me ask you the question again. Because you're believers, right? My life is hidden in Christ. So when I look at myself, am I imitating Christ? Everything that comes in, every thought that I dwell upon, because you can't, the thoughts that you have, Satan will put those thoughts there. So the thing that we've got to do, he says, we have to bring those thoughts into submission to the Holy Spirit. So that means ahead of time, we have to give the Holy Spirit permission that when those thoughts come into our mind, we have to give the Holy Spirit permission to take care of those thoughts, to bring them unto submission, the Bible says. So that means even though you can't control the thoughts that come into your mind, you can control whether you dwell upon them or not. So every thought, every word, every deed, every motivation, we have the ability to do just like Christ would have done when he had them when he was here upon this earth. So how many of us do that? If we were doing that in our life in Christ, our inner, what's going on in here would be seen by others in our behavior out here. Now, I'm going to put this another way too. Everything that is going on in here, whether it's good or bad, others see it in your behavior out there. Okay? That should make some of us feel ashamed. Because there's a lot of times in our life that the things that are going on in here, we're putting out there, and it's not pleasing unto God. Matter of fact, sometimes when we look back at it, it wasn't even pleasing unto us. But we showed it to everybody. Then we were proud of it at the time. We showed it to everybody. So humanity, and we're part of humanity, only now we're a part that belongs completely and wholly to God. But humanity, you only live in your mortality. So that means every day you're just living to get by. God doesn't want us to live to get by. God wants us to live according to the immortality that He's already promised us. The immortality that we already accepted, that promise. You know, as believers, we accept a lot of promises to God, but we don't live up to the things that we're supposed to be doing according to those promises. But boy, we didn't have no trouble accepting them, did we? Somebody wants to give you something for Christmas this year, you won't have no problem accepting it, will you? And what if you open the box up and it's a Bible and it says here, read and study this every day. Oh, I got a problem with that because I just don't have time to do that. Are you going to give it back to them? Oh, no. You done accepted the gift. You done accepted the gift from God. We're not going to give it back. So God says now, I want you to be responsible and own up to it. Live up to it. Live our life the way God wants us to live our life. We represent Him now. Do we live like we represent Him now? Come on, you can shake your heads no. No, we don't. This is how God wants us to live our life here upon this earth. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. Here's what He says. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's the most basic aspect of our life in Christ is now we're one with Him. We're like this. And nothing can separate that. There might be things that'll hinder it, but nothing can separate that. So that means every sin that we've ever committed, whether it was in the past, the present, or the future, Christ dealt with that on the cross for us before we ever came to know Him. And when He was raised from the dead and we accepted that, now we are raised from our dead sinful life as well into the newness of our life in Him. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Let me read this real quick. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Here's what He says. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should what? We should walk in that newness of life. Not in the darkness still, but in that newness of life. So that means that our ultimate goal as a believer is to live the same life that Christ lived when He was here upon this earth. And that means in total dependence upon God the Father. He depended upon God for everything in His life. He did every morning. He got up and prayed before He started His day. And He said, Lord, I want to be dependent upon You. Father, I want to be dependent upon You. Tell me what You want me to do today. That's what I'm going to do. Doesn't matter if there's suffering involved. Doesn't matter what's involved. That's what I'm going to do. We want to live the way God desires us to live, no matter what situation or circumstance we're going to face in our life. And every day of our life, I can tell you, we're going to face some kind of situation or circumstance. It doesn't matter if it's just a flat tire going down the road. Or if you turn your faucet on and water don't come out. Or it doesn't matter what it is. But when we fail to abide in Christ, when we fail to rest in His love, when we fail to trust in His word, when we fail to seek after His will, when we fail to walk in His ways, we're not going to bring glory unto God. It doesn't matter what we're going through in our life, we can always bring glory to God. That's if we How many of you have ever been told in your life, you need to adjust your attitude? My wife probably told me that yesterday. I don't know about it. She probably told me this morning and I done forgot it. But I can guarantee you she told it to me yesterday. So we need to learn to adjust our attitude in the Lord. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me. So here, question number 4. I mean, we might have done one past 4, I don't know. How important is it for us as believers to have a clear understanding of our relationship with Christ or with God? How important is that? It should be of greatest importance in our life to have a clear understanding of our relationship with God. What is it that God wants me to do? How am I going to find that? I'm going to find that through the Word of God. And I'm only going to find it if my union with Him remains like this. It can't be starting to come apart. It's things that hindered. It's got to remain like this. And he wants us to become fruitful. And that means he wants us to, as we live our life here upon this earth, he wants us to see the assurance of his promises, so that we know that we're not alone trying to find our sufficiency in our life, but we're allowing him to show us our sufficiency in our life. So that means we're seeking after his love. We're seeking to abide by his grace. We're seeking to show his mercy to others every day. And we learn this as we gain wisdom and knowledge and the strength that we get. And he gives us this so that we might be able to face everything that'll ever come up, or everything that we'll ever go through in our life in Christ. In John chapter 5, verse 19, here's what he says. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, what? The Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. If we're not living our life by the example of Christ, I can tell you, we can't do nothing of ourselves. We can only do what we see Christ do, what we know Christ does. And if we're not following after Christ, if we're not living by that example in Christ, then we're not doing the things that God wants us to do. I can do nothing of myself but what I see the Father do, for what things soever he does, these also do it, also does the Son likewise. We should be doing the same things in our life today that Christ done when he walked here upon this earth. The same things. When I say that, then physically we're not talking about those things, but we're talking about the love, the grace, the mercy, the compassion, the things that Christ showed that he done while he walked upon this earth. We do this, Christ done this, so that all men might believe in the Father. We do this so that all men might believe in the Son, so that all might come to understand what it means to be saved, so that all might come to understand what it means to have faith and to believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection. And in order to show this, Christ had to do one great thing. He had to humble himself, and he humbled himself unto death. We have to humble ourselves unto death. Now, I ain't giving up my life for anybody on this earth. That's not the death we're talking about. We're talking about the death of those things that aren't pleasing unto God, those things in our life that need to go, those things in our life that we said we were going to die to and we haven't done it yet. We have to, and in order to do that, we have to humble ourselves. So that means for us to be accepted and carry out the will of the Father, we've got to be humble. We have to make sacrifices in our life. All right? So the next time God wants you to do so, oh Lord, I got to go to Walmart today. Make the sacrifice. Stay home from Walmart. That's just an example. But we have to learn to make sacrifices in our life. And in order to do that, we have to be humble to do that. We are valuing the world more than we're valuing our relationship with God. We've got to learn to value our relationship with God and seek after those things that have eternal value. Worldly value won't get us. When you're going on to be with the Lord one of these days, somebody else is going to move into your house, you're going to drive your car, going to eat your food, going to sleep in your bed. I'm not talking about the three little bears and Goldilocks now. But somebody else is going to do all this. And you know, you're not going to care. But I guarantee you today, if you would leave your home and go to town and somebody done that, you would care. Why? Because you value that stuff more than you value your life with God. We all do it. God wants us to value the things that He has set forth for us eternally. Chapter 12, verse 49. Last verse I'll read. Chapter 12, verse 49. Here's what Christ Himself said. For I have not spoken of myself. Well, that's hard to do in today's time, isn't it? Not to talk about yourself. Because we all want patted on the back at some time in our life. But He says, I have not spoken of myself, but I speak of the Father which sent me, because He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. You know, we get in a lot less trouble if we only said the things that God told us we could say and we only spoke the things that God told us we could speak. We get into a lot less trouble. So we have to learn to use this living word. In the first chapter of John, He said that in the beginning was what? The Word. And He goes on down through and He said that this Word, there came life and it lived among us. And man didn't like that, so he crucified. But we have this living Word. And we live by this living Word so that we might glorify the Father. So we might glorify the Father which is in heaven. So that means we study it, we meditate upon it. We're trying to retain in our mind, we're trying to retain those Christ-like characteristics, which by the way, when the Holy Spirit moved in and brought that fruit of the Spirit with Him, He brought those nine characteristics that they give you: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, kindness, meekness, gentleness. One more. Self-control. Okay. So we have them. And we have the ability to use them. But we have to be willing. And we have to submit to Christ to be able to carry out His perfect will in our life. And He wants it to be, He wants us to maintain it so that it might be uninterrupted in our life. So we don't maintain it very well because it's interrupted a lot. You know, a lot of times our life in Christ runs out of gas because we don't maintain it. But Christ would like for us to maintain it so it would be uninterrupted, because He wants us to demonstrate a life that is full of His understanding. And that will allow us to show others what living by His example is all about. And this is the only way that we're ever going to begin to experience what the hope of our eternal life in Him is truly all about. And God would like for us to experience that every day of our life. And we're only going to be able to do it if we follow after the example of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, again for an opportunity to come out into Your house. Again, Lord, for an opportunity to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge, for You to show us understanding, Heavenly Father, of how that You would like for us to live our life here upon this earth, to become more like Your Son, Heavenly Father, to live more like Your Son, Heavenly Father, so that we might find the joy and the happiness that You would have us to live in and by as we live here upon this earth, and that it may glorify You, Heavenly Father. So we just pray this day, Lord, as we leave from this place, and Lord, we're entering into this week of Thanksgiving, and we just pray, Lord, that is always on our heart, Lord, to be thankful, and Lord, to show others truly what Your saving grace is all about. Help us, Lord, to allow our light to shine before others, that they might see Your good works within and through each and every one of us. Forgive us once again this day, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember Thursday evening, since it is Thanksgiving, we've decided not to have Bible study, but the following Thursday evening, we will be having Bible study, and we'll be over at Big Isaac Church at 6 o'clock. You gotta watch, I get my time. Did I say that right? 6 o'clock? Okay. And we're in Revelation. I know you guys, let me just tell you. Because last time I got in trouble for we're in Revelation chapter 2, verse 13 says, "Where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is." So we're gonna be there. We're gonna talk about that a little bit, and then we're gonna go on down through and talk about the other significant things if we get that far. But we're gonna talk about the being a stumbling block. We're gonna talk about the things that Christ hates. We're going to talk about, He says, repent or I'll come quickly. So we're going to move on down through those things, but we're going to start with where Satan's seat is. So, anybody else got anything this morning? If not, we're going to stand, praise the Lord three times. Let you go to dinner. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.